we receive your word in its meekness, in its clarity. There's no error in our hearts and in our minds as your word is taught us this afternoon. We receive it as it ought to be received. We are not ignorant. Ignorance leads as the hearing of your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So, this evening,
I know we have backlogs from teachings that are not yet on the site, but we'll try as much as we can to update the site to today. That is the last teaching, because the last teaching just ended. That is,
who are you? Is this who are you finished? No. Following, right? So now I'm following. What is it? Being a good disciple, right? Of the local church, yeah. So,
we're going to update you. So today, we want to look at something else. Hallelujah. Amen. Something else.
And I titled it, The Christian Prayer Ministry. The Christian Prayer Ministry. The Christian Prayer Ministry.
And I told us last week, and I guess some of the pastors some weeks back, that there's an impression in our hearts to stress, and looking at the fact that we are walking into workers' convention
that will be coming up last Friday and Saturday of this month. So we're looking towards workers' convention, and by the Spirit of God also received direction in the past 2 weeks to actually have a focus on prayer, especially in our local church. Hallelujah. So, I believe that what I'm teaching us today as a pastor is an impression from God's Spirit to us at this time in our lives and in our church. I know we have several teachings on prayer, right? Yeah, we have several teachings on prayer. And we're intelligent as students, you know that is the vital part of our ministry. Hallelujah. In church, as a vital part of our ministry. Sometimes, I know last year I taught prayer twice or five years once. There's been every year I teach on prayer. And it's very vital. Amen. There are some teachings I have every year. If you are very intelligent, you know that. Hallelujah. So looking at the prayer ministry, the Christian prayer ministry. Hallelujah. Matthew 28, quickly. Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go in therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Hallelujah. To the ends of the age, or end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. In Mark 16, you know, Jesus gives this instruction after he had taught them 40 days. So he gave them an instruction to reach the unreached, save the unsaved. And Matthew will focus on that discipleship instruction, in discipleship aspect of the same instruction. Make disciples. Hallelujah. Now when you look at Mark 16 from verse 15, you know, Mark captured the same instruction as Jesus saying to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Say, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Hallelujah. Preach the gospel to every creature. Say, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Give me a second now. Okay. Good. So, he that believes not shall be saved, he that believes not shall be damned, and this time shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues, says they will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not help them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So then after the Lord has spoken to them, he will sit up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God, and went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Hallelujah. So we said this, that Mark will have that focus on the entrance into what we call discipleship. Hallelujah. And it says it will be when a man is saved. Now, something we also said is, if you look at Luke being a bit elaborate from verses 44, will also show us that these instructions will be instructions of the scriptures. 44, he said, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, written in the law of Moses, in the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. So it shows you how these instructions are instructions of the scriptures. Hallelujah. Amen. So he said, and he opened his ear, understand, and they might understand the scriptures. Then, 46, he now says to them, he says, thus it is written, and thus it behoves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, the third day. And now repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name. Hallelujah. Repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name. So, he gives another instruction. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go preach the gospel. And he calls the gospel of God's forgiveness and repentance of sin. Something you would have to observe is that these instructions are instructions of scripture. Hallelujah. When I read scriptures together, I will find out that these are instructions of scriptures. Look at something. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, quickly. Deuteronomy 6, quickly. Amen. Look at what it says. I'll start from verse 4. It says, "Yea, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." Now, I told you this is faith in, right? Faith in God, right? When he uses the word love there, it refers to faith. That is, be saved, right? So, what becomes the instruction to the saved? Look at verses 6. And this word which I commanded this day shall be in thy heart. Now what is the word? It says, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, that thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's believed that this is also an instruction. Hallelujah. Of reaching the unreached. What did I say now? Reaching the unreached. Genesis 1:28, 5, etc. So you find that the instruction to believers, or the instruction of God to those who believe, right from the Old Testament, will be the same instruction. Hallelujah. It therefore shows you that God's task in the earth has not changed. Let me follow you. God's task in the earth has not changed from the Genesis. God didn't do renewal of hope. God's task didn't change. Hallelujah. Glory to God. His task has been the same. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. Now let's see something. Look at John. John gives the same instruction to John 20. John 20. The same instruction. John 20 from verses 23. He says, whosoever sins ye remit, that's what they say, receive you the Holy Ghost. And I say, whosoever sins ye remit, I remitted to them, and whosoever ye retain, I retain. So, goes the same direction. When a man is saved, his sins are forgiven him. Hallelujah. So that means that the preaching of the gospel, carrying out God's tax to the earth, we are not the ones doing it ourselves. It is God carrying out his tax to the earth through us. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was saying, like we said, it's like one of the scriptures. So therefore, it's very vital as a good Bible student to understand how scriptures are read. Hallelujah. How scriptures are read. Jesus shows us that he reads, or the way scripture should be read should be from the Genesis. Did you see that? From the Genesis. I will find it in the disciples too. In Matthew 1, because of time, we'll not quickly look at it, though as we're supposed to, but because of time. Matthew 1, Mark 1, Luke 1, and John 1, they give you credence that what you are about to read is like a disclaimer as you open the books. Before you read it, this, you have to read it backwards. You have to read the scripture, because what they are writing are not fairy tales. No. What they are writing is the scripture fulfilled in the life of the man Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. So let's just a quick one. We're looking at the Christian prayer ministry. Matthew 28, verses 20. It says to teaching them. Teaching them. And that is very vital, because Christianity, as I've always said and I'll keep saying to you, is a faith that is knowledge-based. It's a knowledge-based faith. Hallelujah. Where your worship of God is to the degree of your knowledge of Him. You can't, it's a vital. Your worship of God is to the degree of your knowledge of Him.
Your worship of God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this, like I said, is the reason why Paul and other of the apostles, not just Paul, I know we always dwell on Paul, but other apostles too, which we'll see in the course of this, in the course of this series. Other apostles too will pray for believers to grow in the knowledge of the truth. Paul and every other apostle. Their prayer was not for money. Their prayer was not for to buy. No. Their prayer was not to buy a football club. Their prayer was towards knowledge. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Knowledge. If you look at Ephesians, remember I said we're going to look at other of the apostles too in the course of this series, maybe not today. But look at Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 16. It says, as I cease not to give thanks, so you make mention of you in my prayer that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, before you think he's calling the spirit of wisdom and spirit of revelation differently, no. What he calls the spirit of wisdom there is actually wisdom of the spirit, which is revelation in the knowledge of Him. Did you see that? Hallelujah. That's how the wisdom will put it. Wisdom of the spirit. So it prays for them that they would have the wisdom of the spirit. And what does he call the wisdom of the spirit? He calls it revelation in the knowledge of Him. Car. So that word they mean is further explaining what the wisdom of the spirit is, and he calls it what revelation in the knowledge of Him. That's so Paul's prayer was for revelation. Now, did he just stop there? Look at what that would do. It says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know. Watch that. Know that is to come to the truth. What is the hope of His calling and the riches of His glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to the workings of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly. So He prays for knowledge. Did you see that? He prays for knowledge that they would come to know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at chapter 3, verse 14. Say, for this cause, I bow my knee to the Father of glory. To the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family, chapter 3, verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart. Did you see that? Hallelujah. When you use the word Christ may dwell in your heart, they are already saved. So what does it mean by Christ may dwell in your heart? That is the knowledge of Him. Hallelujah. We're going to see that. Amen. Amen. It says that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints. Do you see that? What is the length and the height, and the depth and the height? And to know. Hallelujah. Did you see that there? And to know. Knowledge. The love of, hope you are seeing that. Hallelujah. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Did you see that? So he used the word to know. It's important. Knowledge is very vital for the believer. Look at Colossians. Oh, before you get to Colossians, let's see Philippians 1:9. Philippians 1. Philippians 1:9. Paul heard of the news of the church at Philippi got to Paul, and that how did they walk in love. So he now wants them to walk much more in love. Especially between two brethren who were having, especially between brethren who were having clashes. I wanted them to walk much more in love. And look at what he says in verse 9. It says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more. Did you see that? That your love may abound yet more. And more in knowledge and in all judgment. Did you see that? Amen. That your love may abound yet more. How will it abound yet more and more? It is in knowledge. Did you see that? and in all judgment, in knowledge. Did you see that?
So that means their love was to the degree of their knowledge. He wanted them to love them more, to extend their love much more. Hallelujah. Even to a brother, a sister who has offended them. And yet, and he speaks of knowledge. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So knowledge is vital.
Look at Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Hallelujah. Look at what Paul heard of them, verse 4. He says, since we heard of your faith in Christ and your love, which ye have to all the saints. Did you see that? Now go to verse 9. He now says, for this cause. Look at verse 8. We talked about Epaphras. He says, he also declared to us your love in the Spirit. And for this cause, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled. Did you see that? Desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Knowledge of his will. Did you see that? He wanted them to walk much more, and he prayed for them to be filled with what? Knowledge. Wasn't praying that they would buy a Ferrari car. No. Was praying towards knowledge. Did you see that? And it's very vital. Very, very vital. Philemon. Philemon. Verse 4. It says, for I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayer, hearing of your love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord. This is a brother. And towards all the saints, that the communication of thy faith, watch that, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging. That word acknowledging is the word epignosis, full and precise knowledge of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. He wanted him to walk in love towards a brother, but before that, the brother was a servant, like a worker, and he stole his money, a kind of someone that has offended him, maybe stole his money and ran away. In the process of running away, he now encountered Paul, and God saved. Now Paul is now sending that guy back to Philemon. And who? Paul, look at what Paul has done. See? And Paul is sending him back, and Paul wanted Philemon to walk in love towards him. Paul didn't call on food. That letter that Philemon would use, this which is the book of Philemon, was handed over to Onesimus. Did you see that? So Paul sent Onesimus back to Philemon with the same letter. And he wants Philemon to receive Onesimus. Hallelujah. So we will say, no, pastor, I'm a pastor, but this one, EFCC was involved. No. Amen? She got no work. Here now. He didn't know the amount of billions and so. Well, he's born again now. He's not a brother. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So Paul wanted him to walk in love. And he said, see, I pray for you. That the communication of your faith, and that good thing I've been hearing of, that your love, he said, will become effectual. That is, will become much more operative. Hallelujah. And he wants him to walk in love towards someone who has offended him. Hallelujah. About everybody walks in here now and says he's born again. Born again, speaking in tongues. You say, what will you do? And I say, wisdom. Could be wisdom. Galva. Receive him as a brother. In fact, be in wisdom cell. That's a pastor. A million. Well, did you see that? That was what Paul did.
And he prayed for them that they will grow. Amen.
So you can't serve God outside knowledge. Hope you can see this. Hallelujah. We'll look at all the apostles maybe in the coming weeks. Hallelujah. But we will see that
their focus was on working, on knowledge, so that they will work much more effective as believers. Hallelujah. So you can't serve God above your knowledge of Him.
Glory to God. Amen. So the question you ask yourself is, what is the end point of knowledge? You know, most times some people say, and so will He take us to heaven? No! That is not the end point of knowledge. Hallelujah!
You know, some people when begin to show the scripture, the devil will tell you, all these things you are saying, all these Greek words, all these Hebrew words, epignosis, this one, that, this one, that. What is the cocoa? Will He take me to heaven? That is wrong. Hallelujah! Amen. That's not the point of an intelligent position.
Okay, are you hearing me?
That is not that's not the right question.
Well, they'll ask that question because of their knowledge.
Amen.
Because you can't serve God above your knowledge of Him.
Glory to God. Some people are so selfish. They think Christianity is selfishness. So they got born again because they want to go to heaven.
So when they come born again, they are now saying, I know my God.
No. It's coming back again.
When they are coming back again to do what I say, we'll go back and stay in heaven.
No, heaven is His house. It's just like you have a master bedroom and you have a children bedroom.
Stop doing nonsense.
What about just so selfish?
Glory to God.
Someone else said, when you get to heaven, how will your house be like in heaven?
So your own heaven is the street are made of gold.
Gold is heaven, not heaven.
The street of what is heaven? Heaven is a place where the street of heaven are made of gold. Are you okay? God is not heavenly. Your problem is that you are poor. But if you were rich, God wouldn't be your problem. Amen. Amen. God wouldn't be your problem if you were rich. Glory to God. When you get to heaven, some people are just so materialistic. That's my mansion in heaven. Only you'll be staying in a mansion with 70 rooms. Are you an octopus? Is that how your heaven looks like? So we'll be in a big mansion, only me, my big mansion. So you live in all the rooms. You are greedy. That's a selfish attitude. If that's how your heaven is, I don't want to go there because it will be for selfish people. Don't you know that?
You don't win souls like that. Yeah? So, how can I want you to save my own heaven? Someone said it's good to be a shoemaker in heaven than to be a rich man in hell. What kind of nonsense is that? You'll be a bookie in heaven.
Don't say that. Hallelujah. One of my rapture friends has said that. So it's good to be an aboki in heaven. Very stupid. But kind of nonsense is that? How do you want to win a soul like that?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You want to win a soul, you are saying that kind of nonsense.
Glory to God. Only you have big house. Only you have 10 cars. 20 cars. Then hell, I will drive you Ferrari. Who will make it? Pino son, Abi. Give yourself brains. You know, angels of God will make cars. For who? No. It's a wrong perception. And that is why your worship of God is that way. Hallelujah. Because the end point of knowledge is worship. Look at Ephesians 4. I guess about a year or 2 years ago, a young minister like myself met me and was asking me, that was the end point of knowledge. And I said, worship. He was shocked. Yeah, like, is it that simple? I said, it's worship.
It's that simple. Ephesians 4, verse 11. He said, look at Ephesians 4, 11.
Let's not get into that conversation. Ephesians 4, 11. He said, against some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the refining of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Did you see that? Unto a perfect man. You come to knowledge, unto a perfect man. He says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So that means knowledge will bring about growth. That's what it's saying, right? Right? Look at 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, of whom the whole body, filled with joint together and compacted, by which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. He says, making increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. Hallelujah. That is worship of God. Every part becomes effectual. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every part becomes effectual. And it says, edifying of itself, the body in love. Hallelujah. So that means my spiritual growth will be found in my work, my love work. Glory to God. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 16, Paul will put it again this way. He said, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. Did you see that? Unto good works. Good works. So that means growth. My knowledge of God will bring about growth. Right? And growth will be seen in my work. Did you see that? In my work. In my Christian work. In my Christian work. And the Christian work is it's something we're going to see in real life. We're going to see that. My Christian work. So, unto all good works, which will also include my worship of God. My worship of God. We're going to see that shortly. Hallelujah. My worship of God. So that means in my Christian work, I worship God. In Exodus 3 verse 12, Exodus 3, 12. God spoke to Moses and he told him, and said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token to thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought the people out of Egypt, thou shalt serve me upon this mountain. So, growth will bring lead to worship, service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many know this? Spiritual growth, therefore, will be seen in our work, which will be our worship of God. So our Christian work is our worship of God. I know there are several people, and tell them, what do you mean by worship God? What comes to their mind is slow song. Say, have you worshiped God? Say, do you worship God? I've not sang song. He said, that is a function of knowledge. Did you see that? The man said, when you have between praise and worship, say praise song is fast, you clap, you dance, then worship is slow song. What kind of nonsense? Who taught you that? That's not it. Worship of God. Songs, singing songs is part of it, but it's not all of it. Amen. Amen. The whole Christian life is in worship to God. Open your ear. The whole Christian life, the totality of our Christian life, walking in the Spirit, is in worship to God. Is in worship to God. So, worship of God is not just songs. No. No. Okay, let me. Next time you ask, what is worship? So worship is not slow song. So let's move from praise to worship. Adonai. That speaks to worship. Hey, happy birthday, that is praise. I don't know that. When it's fast, it's praise. When it's slow, it's worship. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you can see that is why you shouldn't joke with your knowledge of God. You shouldn't joke with it. You shouldn't joke with your knowledge of God. Just in praise and worship.
Hallelujah. Train joke with the knowledge of God.
Let's see something from a Bible character who never knew God until the end of his predicament, and many people quote him till tomorrow. Let's see Job. Look at Job 42. Job 42. Many people quote Job till tomorrow. But Job admitted that he didn't know God until the end of his issue.
Look at Job. Are you there? Job 42.
Job 42 verse 3. How what Job says? It says, who is he that hired a counsel without knowledge? Who is he that hired counsel without knowledge? Therefore, have I uttered that I understood. Therefore, have I uttered that I understood not? Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. He's admitting. I've uttered things that I don't know of before. Did you see that? Amen. So he's admitting. So before you read, before you begin to pick out one, can you now see the importance of reading everything together? Imagine just read Job chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now stop in chapter 41. Everything you know about God from that point to chapter 41 will be wrong. How about that for reading everything? Read everything? I said to you, never quote a scripture that you know where the context. Never before doing memory verse. Never before having a favorite verse. Hope you're hearing me. Never before. Favorite verse. I don't know, their favorite verse is John 3:16. John 1:1. See, I said this and I'm saying it. For me, your pastor will be telling you, don't have a favorite scripture. Don't have a memory. I have Felicia. I teach you to quote memory verse. Because you cannot come and quote memory verse and you are quoting John in James and I will not catch you. So as I give that time, I'm going to cry. So that one child will not come and give me some good just do to the other. Hey, someone is wrong. Amen. So imagine me, I'm telling you. Because it will not add up well to your Christian growth. Because you only know verses out of context. Hallelujah. And that was what Job is saying. Look at verses 4. It says, yea, I beseech thee, and I will speak, and I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Verse 5. I have heard thee. He's talking about God. He said, I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear. But now my eyes see you. Hallelujah. Job says, all he knew about God from chapter 41 to 41, I mean chapter 1 to chapter 41, is by the hearing of the ear. What does that mean? That word, by the hearing of the ear, is a word in the Hebrew that means he knew God by what people said. By what people said. That word hearing of the ears deals with a popular opinion. A strong popular opinion. People are saying one thing in town. It's not going around. That is all you know about God. That was what you know about God. Everything people were saying about God. Whether it was right or not, he didn't go to search. Did you see that? He didn't go to search. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he had that about God. Then somebody would ask, but sir, in Job chapter 1, they said Job was an upright man. Hallelujah. An upright one. Yeah? His uprightness is in his words. Hallelujah. Can place it on his mouth. Hallelujah. Hope you are saying that. Glory to God. Popular opinion. I have to say this. The fact that information has been around for a long time does not make it the truth. But that information has been around for a long time. Time, or you put time frame,
doesn't convert a lie. A lie is a lie.
Hope you're hearing me. Time frame doesn't convert a lie. A lie is a lie. Whether in Nigeria or in USA, it's a lie. Location doesn't change a lie. A lie is a lie. Hope you're hearing me. I love the way Pastor, a dear man of God, will put it. He will say, nice Pastor Chris Oyakhilo, but he said, the fact that the lie has been on the throne for donkey years doesn't make the truth. Amen. The fact that the lie has been sitting on the throne doesn't mean the lie is truth. A lie is a lie. Even if it has been heard in generations. But it's not the first time we're hearing it. It's a lie. Okay, you're hearing me. Glory to God. Amen. Remember I told us that the Christian faith is not about going to heaven. It is, but it's about heaven. Amen. But in recent times, not the first century church. The first century church didn't talk about the saints disappearing and being raptured. It's not the first century church didn't discuss about it. No, not anywhere. Just the recent development, just about 1,500 years ago. Amen. So if you bring that into today, okay, so let's say 1,500, not to go up to 1,000 years. Hallelujah. Not up to 1,000 years. Just like 500 to 600 years ago, that's around the 15th century. Hallelujah. Bring that into today. A fact that has been around for 20 years doesn't make it the truth. Glory to God. Because the truth about God's word is that the believer is in God's heaven.
Hallelujah. Heaven is not a place, it's not a location in the planet. You know, some people now think heaven, to go to heaven, now be going up, now enter the sky. Then you and science will be having problems. The truth. Because in science, when you count the amount of planets, heaven is not part of it. Or if heaven and Pluto, or Mercury, or Jupiter. Did you see that? Come on. Amen? Amen? Heaven is a spiritual reality.
Heaven is a spiritual reality. Heaven is God in man. What we are seeing that? Hallelujah. Glory to God.
For sir, when you get people, the very people when they die, they go to heaven. Heaven is a spiritual reality. They go to heaven. Spiritual reality.
Amen. But not a planet. So take your mind away from a planet. What we are following this. Take your mind away from a planet. Not a planet. Hope you are with me now. Uh-huh. Glory to God. So, let's say a few other things. So, I remember years back, I guess I was in just 3 or thereabouts, somebody came into our class to preach, and they said, heaven, we are preparing for exams. And then say, heaven help those who help themselves. Heaven help those who help themselves. And I said, that was wrong. What does heaven help those who help themselves? Show me where it is in the Bible. The person couldn't open it.
Now you senior style to clear your feet. You senior. You can't get it anywhere. Amen? But you know, people still say it's tomorrow, right? Sometimes I have to discipline in school to read up. They say, heaven help those who help themselves. But it's nowhere in the Bible. So we say, cleanness is nearest to godliness. How did you see that in the Bible? And I said, the Bible says, cleanness is nearest to godliness. How? How about telling you to be dirty? But it's a simple way to tell people, don't be dirty. Amen. But don't cover God. You know, sometimes, some people will rope other people and just put God there. God will just be the icing on the cake. You have to tell somebody to clean it up. I say, you know, the Bible says cleanliness is not tell the person. Dirtiness is good. It's not good. Cleanliness is good. Do you know what I mean? Don't be dirty. But it says cleanliness is good. And I tell you, God makes the dirty clean. So I'll go to him dirty. So I'll be clean. Amen. So stop saying nonsense. You hear those kind of thoughts, right? Cleanliness is godliness.
Clean your compound. Tell people it is hygienic to have a clean compound. not to cover God and put God there. Amen. So it makes it, you know, sometimes some people sing,
even have it in songs. If you do good, kingdom, tell children to be good. It's good to be good.
Amen.
But don't cover God and put kingdom there. How does being good, kingdom waiting for you?
Not that you're even getting the kingdom, that is
just waiting for you someday. If you do bad, no more kingdom. Like, if you have done good, you've got this kingdom. So when you have done bad, you'll not take away the kingdom. Tell the child it's good to live right.
Amen?
If you don't want to preach Bible, don't preach kingdom. Which kingdom? USA.
Amen? So, you know, those are things. And you will not be shocked that it is taught to little children. And you grow up having those things in your mind. That's why we're having serpents talking in their mind, snake talking. That before snake used to talk, is after he now offended God and sinned. That God now closes his esophagus. Snake no longer talk again. Snake used to walk. God now said, you now be walking with your belly.
The hand now went inside. The leg went inside. Another day crawling.
Come on, give yourself brains.
It's their life. Amen.
In the evolution of snake, that has never happened. Amen? That's never happened. So what are you saying? Amen? So always, that is why it's good to know God. Hallelujah. So you can't know God by what people say. Popular opinions. You have a lot of it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Remember then that rapture stuff was so very strong. One day I just told my friend now told me we are in extra time. I told some people that I said, we are in extra time. The time has elapsed. I told him, you know what? The rapture has to take place, I'll call you. If you hear the trumpet first, call me. What is trumpet? And your man will just go to boys with his. Yeah. How about they now blow fire alarm?
That's nonsense. You know, when they blow fire alarm, you don't think it's trumpet. You see soldiers going up, you don't think, that happened. No. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, let's get back to Job. So when I get to Job, with this disclaimer, when I get to Job, I will be careful of the words of Job, because many of it, if not all of it, is not true about God. We're just popular opinions. Or what you call things of public opinion. Public opinion. And you will see something. They will guide, you will see that this information now guides his worship of God. His worship of God was now tailored to these instructions or these things he had believed. Look at Job 1 quickly. Let's see something about Job. See Job 1. It was because of this information he came to knowledge of concerning God, that affected his worship of God. Some people, because of cleanliness to godliness, they now begin to live an hypocritic life. Self-righteousness, thinking that is what you make. They say, I've met several people like that. They say, I don't know you're born again, but I don't do bad things. If you've not met such kind of people, you've not heard the evangelism. But someone, a good guy, I said, how do you know you're saved? He said, well, I don't do bad things, I don't smoke, I don't womanize, I don't have a girlfriend. He said, I don't say, you know, it would even be better that you are even smoking, that you are a cultist. He said, so he said, why? Why is it like this? Because you are not even born again. Let people know where you are. So that you are a bad guy. And then we are preparing a sermon for you. So you are not smoking, you are not drinking, you are not organizing, I am not born again. Is that what you mean? I am born again. How do you know? Let me do anything. I keep the law. I don't fight. Am I right? Somebody in the university, you know, you'll be shocked. You say, what is this? What's wrong with this one? I say, you know what? You know what? There are some people that used to drum on Thursday. They are called keg guys. Come and join me. You don't know what keg. I'll be drinking Pami.
He will lie. Go and join them. I told him, go and join them. And be just in care guys.
We know that you are talking. You don't know how to join cult, but join care guys. What kind of nonsense is that? I said, oh God, you're not born again. I thought I've ended my life.
Yes, now. No, they're teaching you. No, born again. I'm talking. That day, that guy got saved. That day, that guy started speaking in tongues. That day, that guy joined myself. Then I was attending Christ Mass in school. Joined myself immediately. I was serving. But what a joke.
Hallelujah. That same day. How can you say,
I don't use to woman, I don't use to drink, I don't belong to cult, I don't use to smoke. You are born again. I was also irritated. I said, you know what? It's good you are bad. It's better you are bad. Let people know what you will, as in where we can place you. See, you know what? On top of this, Manuel Boston. That is the name of the hotel. Manuel Boston. On top of this, like high. They will wear white and green. Just go there. Let's normal. Once you reach there, they will give you clothes. They will give you family. They will baptize you. I know you're not a
guy. What kind of nonsense is that? It's not a joke. How can you do such kind of nonsense? I've calmed down. Hey, glory to God. Look at Job 1:5. He said, and this was so that when the days of their fasting was gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them. That's his children. The children went to have party. So Job got called for them and sanctified them and rose up in the morning and offered burnt offering according to the number of all of them. For Job said, it might be that my son have sinned and caused God in their heart. Because Job did continually. You know, this looks like, this guy is very holy, right?
This guy is very holy. His children did party. He said, maybe he offended God. Let me do a sacrifice. Oh yeah, no, this sacrifice. No. This guy is holy. Right? But this year was a function of his knowledge of God. And it was a wrong function. Is it good to give sacrifice this year? Right? In their world. Right? He showed, this guy is upright. This guy is good. But you know what? This was a function of his knowledge of God. We're going to see something shortly. Hallelujah. You can't serve God like this. Glory to God. What's the function of his knowledge? You say, I want to be like Job. God, as my children are going out, even if they do bad things, God forgive them. They're upright. This is not uprightness. This is backward. This is, he has folded himself. What's the meaning of that? Look at chapter 3 quickly. Chapter 3. Job 3:25. Look at what Job said. I'm coming. No, before we get to Job 3, look at Job 1:15-20. Let's see something. Job 1:15. So now you get it. For 20. So another time again, the children gathered and calamity happened. So verse 15, and servants fell on them and took them away. Yea, I have slain all the servants with the edge of the sword and I only escaped to tell thee. While he was speaking, another one came, that fire fell from heaven and burnt up all the sheep. 17, while he was yet speaking, another one came and said, the chariots made out of three bands and fell on the camels too gone. Verse 18, while we were yet speaking, there came another and said, thy sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind. there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and they fell upon the young men and they are dead. I only escaped to tell thee. Did you see that calamity happened everywhere? Then, verse 20, and Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his hair and fell down on the ground and worshipped. And he said, even in that he worshipped God. Look at what he said in his worship. What did he say in verse 21? And said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, naked I shall I return thither.
The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How?
This is the word of, you know, some people still say this till tomorrow. They will still say it in the next burial service they will attend tomorrow. God give it and the Lord take it. Dust to dust. That's nonsense. It's not the word of God. I use that statement. It's not the word of God. See you tomorrow. Somebody will still die tonight. You say, Pastor, why are you saying, who will die in me? And we will not be born. Who will die tomorrow? And they will go for burial. And then, Father, you say, God give it and God take it. The Father, we will use it to console. God, you know, the Lord give it and the Lord take it. What kind of nonsense that says in the Bible? The Bible says God give it and Jesus is God that said, it's job. I don't give it this game, and everything I knew about God was what people have said. Did you know? So if they God give it and God take it, this is not from God. Hope you're following me. This is not from God. That is not a statement made by God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hope you're following me. It's not, see, listen. It's not the word of God. It has no scriptural corroboration. Hallelujah. And in the days of Job had the five book of Moses. Right? So if you look at the five book of Moses, did you find that God give it and God take it from him? Yeah? He had Moses. So when did he find God give it and God take it? Popular opinion. Popular word. God give it and God take it. No! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What about if men now understand, if people now understand that God made man to be mortal? Hallelujah. Understand that first. And then with the hope of the fact that there is a resurrection. Hallelujah. There is a resurrection. We will all be found alive again that are saved. Glory to God. So you comfort your heart. Don't comfort people with God given and God taken. I'll slap you. Because that misrepresents God. Don't say that to me.
That's right. God gave you the job, God took it away from you. What kind of nonsense stuff is that? Right. So God gave you the money, God took it away from you with anything, with a bio.
Oh, we panic. Hallelujah. So stop saying nonsense. Don't rope God.
You know, when people say that God give and God take it, God just say, "Ma rope me, don't rope me." God just say,
don't rope me, oh. I'm clear. Mind that. And you mind that? Want to rope me inside?
Don't rope God. Come on now. It's not fair. It's not fair. Imagine they said you are the person, you are at home on the night of a crime scene, sleeping well. The man came and said you were the person that killed the person that died in a crime scene, not even in Lagos, in Zamfara. The man chased it to you. Yes, the man said, how now? I was sleeping.
That is how some people are robbing God.
Not robbing me. So what is it not true? Amen. Amen. So if you look at Exodus 20, look at what God does. Exodus 20 verse 5. You know, what Job was saying in chapter 1 verse 5 was, should in case my children have sinned, God, sacrifice. But look at what God does in 20, and he said, thou shalt not, he says, for I am the Lord your God, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the father upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that love me. Do you see that? I mean to them that hate me, sorry. Now, you see what God does? God will always visit the iniquity. No. You are even visit in your day.
Visit there is the word pakah in the Greek, in the Hebrew. It's used for how God forgives. Hallelujah. Used for God's judgment on iniquity. What is God's judgment? That word pakah is used for God's judgment on iniquity. So when you say God visits there, it means God forgives iniquity. Numbers chapter 14 verses 20. God forgives. I will pardon. That's what it is. God will pardon the iniquities of men. That's what God does. God pardons. Amen. In Genesis, when God visited Sarah, what does God do when he visits? When God visited Sarah, was it to destroy Sarah? No. He visited Sarah and Sarah conceived. You hope you are seeing it. Amen. So when God visits,
Now I'm talking to your pastors and some leaders. Then I say, when God visits, it's for salvation. When God visits, it's for salvation.
Not to kill, not to destroy. So that should give you a mindset about Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. God didn't visit Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy,
but to save. That's all what he went to do in Sodom and Gomorrah, was to save. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God doesn't destroy. So automatically, if Job had read Moses well, Job wouldn't end up with those kind of statements. Right? Right? Job wouldn't have ended up with God give it and God take it. He wouldn't have ended up with those kind of attitude of going to sacrifice because he thought his daughters and sons must have sinned against God. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, let's get back to Job. So, Job, in that chapter 1 where we read, was thinking it is God, right, that killed his children, that took away everything that he had, right? He thought, so, but look at what the writer of Job showed us. Job 1:7. He showed us somebody at the back of the scene doing it. And Job was not aware. Did you see that? He gives us that disclaimer first of all. Verse 7, he said, and the Lord said to Satan. So there was Satan in the scene. Right? That Job was not aware. So in the unseen, right, there was Satan at the back of it. Did you see that? It wasn't God. Don't worry. We'll look at some of this when, as I'm teaching you on revelation of God. A few of these things will come back alive there. Amen. So it was Satan at work, not God. Was it God gave permission? No, God didn't give permission.
We started looking at the causative and the permissive, right? Of God got it there. Who might get there? So you discover that God was actually mentioned in that scenario because what was happening there in the physical had to do something, had something to do with that. Hallelujah. But God was mentioned, not God was mentioned doing the task or giving permission. God was mentioned. Hallelujah. Amen.
God didn't do nothing. Why? Why? We're going to see why God did nothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's see Job 3, verse 25. Look at what Job said. He said, for the things which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come to me. So that means all along, when Job was visiting no sacrifice, that you think was a righteous man, upright man,
was this sacrifice. Maybe they have sinned. He was afraid. Did you know? He was afraid.
That was fear. Hallelujah. Was fear. You cannot serve God in fear. You can't. Hallelujah. So, pause.
Go to the back of the scene. Do you see why God was mentioned at the back of the scene?
Amen. You can't serve God in fear. You can't serve God in fear. You can't pray in fear. Some people do that. Remember one time we were praying like that?
In Pastor Joshua's house. I guess that was around 1 December period. I guess December 24th or thereabouts. So we were praying. And some brothers, and we were praying. There was this wonderful breeze. You know, his house was close to Money Market, so breeze really would flow through. The breeze now flowed, moved. Now fell a calendar. The calendar, I was praying, my eyes were open. I just saw that some of almost everybody there. It's either the tongues too to went to their two. But I saw everyone, what is all this? Are you praying in fear? Yeah? Oh yes, but let's go see some of the praise, yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God doesn't want it. Hallelujah. Rather, you serve God in faith. Hebrews 11:6 say, without faith it is impossible to please God.
It says, he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that do get to see. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You can serve God in fear.
I love what Smith Wigglesworth said in one of his books, Mountain Moving Faith. He said, you can't defeat the devil in the arena of fear. No, you deal with the devil in the arena of faith. So you change the location of the fight. You deal with the devil in the arena of faith.
The fear is a link in the dark. White faith is a link in the light. That's what he said. A link in the light.
Fear is a link in the dark. You can't serve God in darkness. You can't call fear and say there's light in fear. No! Fear is darkness. Did you see that? So that means Job, in his prayer, in his offering, was doing it in fear. What I greatly feared, not he greatly feared, has come.
That means when he saw his wealth, he was thinking, God, this thing shouldn't, may I not lose this thing, oh, hell. And he didn't mind, I think he's praying. That is fear. That is worrying. Hallelujah.
This is why the Bible says, be anxious for nothing.
Be anxious for nothing. But what you worry about, you will see. You will speak. Hallelujah.
Hey! This is my job. What if I now lose it?
Fear. Fear. What if tomorrow I go to work and now start to fear? And when I said it all,
that is it. You said it and it happened.
How about it? How about saying the right thing? Hallelujah. I walk in the light. Hallelujah. I walk in faith. What about saying the right things? Glory to God. I make progress. You know, very vital. You can't stay worrying. Love what Pastor Shepard says. There's a thin line between worrying and meditation. The thin line. Because worrying, in worrying too, you are speaking, but you are speaking in fear, anxiety, or by then you are speaking in faith. Hallelujah. Both ways you are talking. But many times, when people think in worrying, they are confessing rightly. Okay, may I not lose it too? They now put God at the end, oh God, may I not lose it too? Oh God, oh man, I don't lose that more. And you think it's meditation. Just because you think God is an idol. Because I mentioned God. No. Hallelujah. That is fear. You are children of faith. Okay, that is it. You are a child of faith. So fear should not be found in the world. What if there's a problem around? What if there's a problem maybe in the office, at home? It doesn't mean, but can I just say it the way it is? Imagine you get all what you say. Amen. Victory. God is going to give you all that you say. You should say the wrong thing. Can I not say it? It's not my problem. The light problem. What about solutions? What about seed solutions? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How about that?
No, which kind of family did you bring me to? Is it not my mate that are born in Japan, in Tokyo? No, my mate that are born in USA? No, my mate. Oh God. God, let me make money. Oh God, let me make money. Oh God, let me make money.
That is not faith. That's fear. Hallelujah. That is fear. Worrying. Say, I don't worry. I speak faith-filled words. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. That's worry. What about, I know what to do. Even if you are blank, but you say, I know what to do. He said, I don't know how to lie. Because that you have faith in the Lord. You know what to do. I know how to do what I need to do. Hallelujah. I'm not in the dark about anything. I'm not in the dark about taking the right step. How many that? I said, but there's no. Please trust God. Hallelujah. I'm not in the dark. I can't worry over it. I'm not in the dark. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because in your meditation, you worship the Lord. Hallelujah. In your meditation. So why worry? Because worry is not worship of God. So why not if I just meditate on God's word? What not if I just speak what God's word? That is worship. I'm acknowledging God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is working at it. He's working it out for me. God is working it out for me. Oh yes, I'm not confused. God is working things out for me. Hallelujah. You are speaking faith-filled words. You are filling your day with faith-filled words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
How am I going to make money? Oh, my mate, I know.
No! Hallelujah! I know what to do. Yeah. I have mind-storming ideas. Ideas that will... Amen! Yeah. You say the right words! I have right ideas. Hallelujah! Better ideas of God's Spirit of what to do. I have the right ideas. I'm born of God. I will not fail. I will not fall. You know what you're saying? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Speak faith-filled words. Because when you speak words of worrying, you begin to act worrying. And you know the funny thing? Everybody, apart from you most times, would think you are doing what is right. Even yourself will even think you are doing what is right when you don't know the truth. If you're worrying, though. But people will not carry their worrying. I'm taking to the start of what is on your mind. Facebook, you put it. What is on your mind, status, put it. Your world is dirty. Some people, their world, their status is dirty. They write nonsense. Glory to God. Let me go to see this to an end now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll put it this way. The devil thrives in the arena of fear. And that was what we have in the case of Job. God has no involvement at all. It was all Job's fear that brought all what happened to him. It was all God, all Job's fear. Don't say, God allows it. God allowed the Satan. No, you are missing it. If you understand how the Hebrew will write, amen. You understand how they wrote, you will see that wasn't God that allowed anything. It was faith. It was Job's words that allowed the devil. It was Job's words that allowed the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God wasn't involved. So the only way God is known, therefore, is via scriptures well explained. Can you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well explained. That's how God is known. And this will affect your worship of Him. You can't know God by what people say. Therefore, the way I treat the scriptures becomes very vital. The way I treat the scriptures, how we read the scriptures, would tell us how
our believers walk with honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that is why you must be given to scriptures well taught. Always. Be given to scriptures well explained. You must learn to read scriptures rightly. Some people read scriptures anyhow. Read scriptures anyhow. Just pick scriptures from. Some people do concussion with Bible. Some people do concussion. You pick Genesis 2:4, rush to Galatians, come back. Just be picking verses by verses. No. Hallelujah. I've warned you. The right way to read your Bible is not to read in verses. Amen. Not to read in verses. Don't read your Bible in verses. Read your Bible as a whole book. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So how you read your Bible is very vital. Some people have biased way of reading their Bible. They read their Bible to back up their sentimental view of God. The Bible is not for backing up. They read the Bible to back up. They say, I'm going to tell you four things and I'm going to back it up with the scriptures. Yeah, if you want to do that with me and you say that word, I'll stand up and say, no, my son, I'll tell you, I'll back it up. Backward up. Not be backing up. It's boo-boo. What is it of that? I'll back it up. What are you doing? You don't back up scripture. You don't use scriptures for backup. Open your eyes. You don't use scriptures to want to push a certain kind of view. No. Hallelujah. Scriptures are to be taught. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scriptures are profitable for what? Teaching. It's to be taught. And when you use the word scriptures, then it means from Genesis down to Malachi. That means I must have a holistic reading of scriptures. We're going to look at some of this next week. Hallelujah. I must have a holistic reading of the scriptures. I must read everything together. That's how God is known. God is not known by reading the Bible half-half. You read everything together. Glory to God. God wants you to know Him. God wants us to know Him. And that is why He has given us the scriptures. If we didn't have the scripture, we would have said God wants to be mysterious. Right? But God gave us the scriptures, now we know Him. Everything you need to know about God is written in the scriptures. So God wants to be known. Hallelujah. What are you following me? God wants to be known. Known. Hallelujah. Let's begin to round up here. Jesus had encounters with the Pharisees. You know, in Matthew 22, I'm trying to skip some things now because of time. Matthew 22, he saw, I guess, this the Sadducees, and he came to him to ask him about resurrection from the dead. And Jesus said, "You should Matthew 22, you end not knowing the scriptures. Matthew 28:29. Ye not knowing the scripture nor the power of God." So that means the word "err" there is the word that means to be swayed in error. It deals with a walk. Hallelujah. Amen. So that means to be led astray. So that means I don't know the scriptures. I'll be led astray as regards the person of God. And it will affect my knowledge of Him. It will affect my knowledge of Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Therefore, a believer should pride in proper interpretation of scriptures. You must pride in proper interpretation of scriptures. Look at how the route I am going through to teach you the Christian prayer ministry. Christian prayer ministry. You must pride in proper interpretation of scriptures, because it will show in your worship of God. As we will see in this series or in this study, and even in prayer, the only thing some people know about prayer is how God will kill their enemy. So they only remember prayer when it's time to fight enemies. That's when they remember they want to pray that God should kill their enemies, as if God is a killer. But you know, that is a function of their knowledge of God. Hope you know that. It's a function of knowledge, because in their head they think God is a killer. But I wonder why it's so hard for them to see. If God is a killer, then why is God saving killers? Why is he saving higher assassins and making them see? God is not a killer. But because of their knowledge of God, they think, some people have God as their idol. You know what I mean by having God as their idol? God as their judge. Do you do that? They think God is a judge. No. Amen. No. That's why some people have pictures of God somewhere, carvings of God somewhere. This God has Jazz, Odeshi. How? Knowledge. Hallelujah. Some people only remember God when they are in problems. The only time they remember God is problems. The only time angels hear their tongues when there's problems, they remember they can speak one tongue. Oh, you say, if I think it also, we miss that voice. Every time we know you are born again.
Hallelujah. Where is teaching?
We will be able to see from God's scriptures the believer's ministry of prayer. Not a seasonal ministry. The believer's consistent lifestyle ministry of prayer. What does it entail? What is the believer's prayer life supposed to be like? What is it supposed to be like?
I'm sure at the end of this season, into the third week, because I'm trying to, we'll have to round up before workers' convention, or we'll round up on workers' convention evening. But within the next 3-4 weeks, as we look at this series,
I believe and I know we'll catch that fire for prayer. I believe so. We'll catch that fire again. Fresh one. Hallelujah. You don't need to wait for a special meeting to catch fire for prayer. We'll catch that fire fresh again. We'll discover what the believer's ministry of prayer is. Hallelujah. We'll have what I call a prayerful devotion. I call it like that. A prayerful devotion to a man full of prayer. Hallelujah. I believe so. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are we going to use this year? There will be fire on your prayer altar. Again. It will burn again. It will catch again. Hallelujah. Those points where you feel feeble, you feel weak, you feel unstrengthened to pray, you'll pray again. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. We'll raise a brand new fire mountain in our lives, in our families. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Learn something? Are you sure you learned something? Okay, share with someone what you learned quickly.